This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Sumitra Selvaraj and Lim Soo Ann. As always, we have two stories for you today.
First up, we have another Hari Ini Dalam Sejarah segment because it's Human Rights Day today. So we take a look at the history behind this international observance, as well as the theme for this year, which is youth standing up for human rights. Human Rights Day is observed annually on 10th of December today, which actually marks the day back in 1948 when the United Nations General Assembly adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So that declaration is actually a milestone document in human rights in human rights history because it was actually the first time that fundamental human rights were set out to be universally protected. And back then, it was actually drafted by representatives with different legal and cultural backgrounds from all regions of the world.
So when the General Assembly adopted the declaration with 48 states in favour and 8 abstaining, it was proclaimed as a, quote, common standard of achievement for all peoples and all nations, unquote. It was a goal which individuals and societies should strive to achieve by progressive measures, national and international, to secure their universal and effective recognition and observances. All very inclusive.
And Article 2 of the Declaration makes it clear that everyone is entitled to all the rights set out in the Declaration. This is regardless of race, colour, religion, sex, language, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property, birth or other status. And the rest of the declaration goes on to reaffirm basic human rights, such as the right to life and liberty, freedom from torture, freedom from slavery, and right to nationality.
And fun fact, while I was doing my reading about this, the declaration is actually one of the most translated documents in the world. It's been translated to more than 500 languages. I'm not too sure about the exact number. And if I'm right, you can also, if you have a particular language that you want to translate it to, there is a link on the UN website for you to submit your own translation.
Fun fact for you, Sharmila, close to the declaration, I think the next most popular, third most popular, Adventures of Pinocchio.
I don't know why you thought me. Oh, is it because I do the book show? Okay,
absolutely.
All right. I do like Pinocchio.
Well, going back to the declaration, even though it has a broad range of political, civil, social, economic rights, cultural rights, it's actually not a binding document, but it has on its own become inspiration for more than 60 human rights instruments internationally. And that all together constitutes our international standard of human rights today. And we're talking about documents like the Convention on the Elimination of All Discriminations Against Women, the Convention on the Rights of the Child, the Refugee Convention. So it's become the starting point where international human rights law actually began to grow.
And since this year also marks the 30th anniversary of the Convention on the Rights of the Child, it made sense to capitalize on the current momentum and further to spotlight the inspirational and leadership roles of youths in collective human rights movements today, which brings us to this year's theme, which is Youth Standing Up for Human Rights.
So the aim is to celebrate the potential of youth, right, as constructive agents of change to amplify their voices, engage a broad range of global audiences in the promotion and protection of rights. And we know, we have seen that youth participation is essential to achieve sustainable development for all. Young people are seeking to participate in all decisions that have a direct and indirect effect upon their well-being and daily lives, and they need to be heard, not they must be heard, for their views to inform more effective decision-making. Young people also always have been major drivers of political, economic and social transformation. We know that they can play crucial roles in positive change, that they are at the forefront of grassroots mobilization for positive change, and that they bring fresh ideas and solutions to the table for us to create a better world. And we need to continue empowering them so that they can be better and so that they can claim their rights, which will generate benefits globally. Even today, young people are often marginalized and still find it difficult to access and exercise their rights because of their age.
But despite that, younger people stepping up younger people stepping up as activists is really something that we've been seeing a lot of in the news, especially in the recent years, from young climate activists to the students involved in the Hong Kong protests, as well as the high school students who survived the Parkland school shooting that happened and then became advocates for gun control. I mean, some really inspiring stories. And really, because of social media as well, we hear these stories from all over the world.
Yeah, and the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights as well, Michelle Bachelet, she pointed out that this year's observance falls amid an era of tremendous activism, especially as countries are actually meeting in Madrid for the COP25 conference on climate change. And we've spoken about that, and we've seen how these young climate activists are stepping up, and they are the ones that are leading these changes, right? And in her statement for Human Rights Day, Bachelet also adds that, and I quote here, "We owe a debt of gratitude to all those millions of children, teenagers, young adults who have been standing up and speaking out more and more loudly about the crisis facing our planet." And that is why she stresses that we must hear the voices of these the young people. And that's also why earlier today I wanted to speak to a young human rights activist here in Malaysia. So I spoke to Heidi Kwa earlier today. She's the director of Refuge for Refugees, an NGO that she founded when she was just 18. And the NGO actually helps to provide education to refugee children, not only in Malaysia, I think around the Klang Valley mainly, but also in Myanmar as well. So I actually started by asking Heidi what were some of the challenges that she faced when she started Refuge for the Refugee, and how, and especially because she did it at a young age of 18.
Right. Yeah, I think some of the challenges that we struggled with is that we were so young. People didn't know whether we were sure as to what we were talking about. People always felt that, like, you know, it was just a phase that we're going through. Mm-hmm. What do we know about advocating for refugees? Why are we here fighting for refugees when, you know, there's people out there that needs help as well? You know, why can't we advocate for the local urban poor instead of refugees? So I think people didn't know how to take us seriously in that sense. And it felt that, like, it was just a lot of speaking, but people looking at us being young girls, especially at 18 years old, and going like, what do you know enough to advocate about? Yeah, so that was one of the main struggles that we went through.
Mm-hmm. And do you still face that today? When you go out and talk about refugee rights, when you say that you're helping refugees here as a young person in Malaysia, is that something that people still find it difficult to understand?
I think yes, but a lot less, only because we've been in the field for about 8 years now. And we've definitely built a lot more credibility for the organisation and the work that we do. So it holds, whatever we say and whatever we do now holds a lot more weight. So that helps, definitely.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that that criticism that's lobbed at you then when they say, oh, you're too young, like you said, right?
I think I always challenge them back with, then what are you doing about the situation? I mean, we always get criticised, you know, why are you helping refugees and not the local urban poor? There's always people that look at it this way. But I thought, like, hey, you know what? Refugees happen to be something that I'm passionate about, so this is what I'm doing. But if you're passionate about the Orang Aslis, if you're passionate about the local urban poor, then you do something about it, because there's only so much, I think, there's so much happening across the world in Malaysia as well. And I feel that if we all do our part, we all can make a change together. Mm-hmm. We don't need to fight against each other, but we need to work together better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you work in terms of refugee rights here in Malaysia, right? Are you seeing more people of your age, younger people, taking part in human rights activism, whether it's other rights or refugee rights?
I won't say that there are younger people taking. Mm-hmm. I feel that because human rights in general is such a touchy issue that really goes deep, you know, into broken systems and stuff like that. So I definitely do not see more younger people being involved, but I feel that there is an increasing amount of interest. When we run events, you know, people do turn up, and it's more of the younger crowd that turns up just to see what they can learn, which I think is really important.
Mm-hmm. And why is it important for them for younger people especially to take up causes like human rights?
Because I think that we're young, right? We have that energy, we have resources. I feel that the generation before us has already done so much. And if we don't take over, the work will not be finished. Mm-hmm. I feel that it's young people these days are so privileged. We are privileged with so much resources, so much information, so many opportunities. What are we doing with our privilege?
Are there differences that you see in terms of how you work, for example, in the human rights field compared to people of the generation before, people who are older? Like, for example, when I think of social media, right, that's something that has changed a lot in the past decade or so. Do you think things like that have changed how human rights activism works?
Yeah, for sure. I think human rights activism has taken quite a bit of a creative turn, which I find really exciting. So people are finding different ways to advocate for issues, a lot of it using social media, a lot of it through storytelling, a lot through videos, through plays, through music, through poetry. And that's where the young people come in, right? Because they go like, hey, these are the things that we're interested about, these are the talents that we can contribute. And it's really interesting because we realize that like the previous generation looked a lot into policies and going for big meetings, and they're great at that. And they're so good at this at the table, right? But what can the younger generation do? We can run awareness campaigns. We can put up a show. We can do a concert. That gives people that opportunity to be interacted with in that sense. I think people are looking into, if I were to phrase it better, I think the younger generation has been really good at using social media and creativity to engage people in an interactive way to humanize the human rights issue.
And I think it goes back to what you said, right? You want people interested in it first.
Yeah.
They don't need to necessarily be active in it, but you want people to be concerned about things like that. You want people to be like, oh, look, this is something that I should know about, that perhaps someday that you will fight for people who needs these rights.
Yeah.
And so what words of encouragement would you have for the younger people today who perhaps are interested or perhaps they don't know enough about human rights activism to want to, that they want to do their own part about it, but they don't know what to do?
Yeah, I think the one main thing that I would say is that your convictions has to be stronger than your emotions. If you feel convicted about an issue, go for it. A lot of times our emotions hold us back, right? The whole what if we fail, what if we can't do this? The whole what if we worry, we tend to get caught up in the whole what if. Or sometimes when we start, we can start out on a high, but if I get to be real, almost everyone who's in a scene in their 5-year mark gets hits a blockage in that sense. And we go like, can we really do this? Are we sure that we can move forward with this? Blur out the noises, you know. I think it's so important to listen to yourself, listen and be sure of what you are convicted about, to be sure about like what your stance and principles are. People always tell you that like, hey, you shouldn't speak up for that. You know, why bother when it's such a long battle? People will say so many things, but at the end of the day, I think if you push forward properly, if you stand by your values and principles, if you stand by your convictions especially, change can happen and change will happen.
And change is what the Human Rights Day wants to see from the younger people today. And that was Heidi Kwa. I spoke to her earlier today. She's the founder and director of Refuge for the Refugees. And it's really inspirational to see young people like her in Malaysia, young people all over the world speaking up for things that they believe in, right? It's showing you that there is still hope after all.
I suppose it's also, I don't know if it's just hope, but has it come to necessity? You know, if you know, social ills and problems that we deal with are on such a catastrophic global nature, who's going to be left to fix it?
So we've had this conversation, I think, on a previous Daily Digest. Yes. I remember Juliet Baking on the show as well. And she pointed out, and I've read articles about this as well, that it almost doesn't feel right that we should be looking at, you know, people who are still in high school in the case of the Parkland shootings, or someone like Greta Thunberg or other climate activists who are still in school to give up their fundamental, actually, right to education and safety at that age to have to take on these causes.
But as Thunberg and the Parkland survivors will tell you over and over again, their rhetoric, their call to action is simple. You won't do anything about it,
precisely.
So I'm going to have
to. So it's a failure on the part of the adults, right? And that's sad. But on the other side of it then, I mean, it sometimes often does give me a lot of hope for the future to see that perhaps if people at this age are able to speak up, you know, what what wonders can they achieve in the future, right?
As long as they're not silenced.
Yeah.
As long as they are given the right sort of platform and opportunity to at least be heard, you know, rather than, for example, authorities stamping down and saying, well, you can't do this because you're disturbing the peace, or you need to be back in school because it is a crime if you're not.
And yet today, when you see young people, when you see these kids speaking up, right, they are, it's always accompanied by people criticizing what they do.
These kids, so at your age.
Criticizing their youth. Yes, that's right. But yes, criticizing their age, right? Their youth is used against them. Mm-hmm. But isn't that how... I feel like that's the mark of a person with a poor argument.
Oh,
when
yes.
you can't actually argue the case, and so you argue personal points like age or gender or whatever, because you don't actually have a relevant reply. And we do see it happening, and it's a pity, but I don't think that that's a valid argument that anyone should take up, unless you have a better reason to participate in that conversation.
But I guess it's also become so much part of it that people who are speaking up for human rights have learned how to cope with this in a way, to recognize that this comes part and parcel with it, but you have to push on. Like Heidi says, you have to stay. If you're passionate about it, you will stick to it until you effect change.
Yeah. She is a thoroughly inspiring young woman. And really proud to call her my friend.
Well, if you have more thoughts on Human Rights Day today, if you have thoughts on young people being involved in human rights activism, you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900. We will need to take a quick break now, but we leave you with All Together Now by The Beatles on The Daily Digest, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.